I want you to remember Isaiah chapter 53. Don't turn there because that's not where we're going. Okay? You can open your Bibles to Matthew 27 is where we'll be ending up at. But it's written in the Old Testament in Isaiah 53 that he would lack nothing as far as beauty is concerned. And intelligence, wisdom. Why? He was Emmanuel, God with us. But he would live a troubled life in as much as he would have much opposition. Why wouldn't he? Because Satan kind of is the prince of the power of the air. And then it said, his body took the stripes. We get the healing. He did that for you. You know something? As it's written even in the Old Testament, he didn't whimper. He didn't complain. He didn't open his mouth. And of course, that's verified in Matthew 27, where we're going, in the trial that was held there. And we're going to cover that trial just a little bit. And it's very important that we understand that he is our Passover. And just as the children killed the Passover lamb the night they escaped Egypt, that blood on the doorpost caused the death angel to pass over the house. Passover is the same today. If you want wickedness away from you, and if you want evil away from you, then that's why you partake of the Passover which Christ became, which is to say the table of the Lord. Then that wickedness must pass over. Why? They're afraid of you. God gave you power over, as it's written in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I give you power over all your enemies, so why would you fear anything? Unless you're a wimp. And thank God we don't have any wimps in this church. Okay? Not a one. Okay? Why? Because, you know, we have a way of, that's what the tuba for is for. Okay? It's to build up a wall. Okay, to help a person out. So, if you would, open your Bibles to chapter 27, the great book of Matthew. Let's pick it up with verse 35. This is the crucifixion. This is what he accomplished for us. Verse 35 of Matthew 27, and it reads, and they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. Roman soldiers gambling for his clothing there at the foot of the cross. And you know something? As it said, the prophet declared that long ago. We're going to go there in a little bit. Psalms 22 declared each act at the crucifixion 1,000 years before it came to pass, so that you would know this report is true. Because no man, no human being could arrange for the chief priests, the malefactors, and all others to play the part they did at this crucifixion. Even Pontius Pilate. Verse 36, and sitting down they watched him here, and set up over his head the accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews, which was false. He's King of Israel. Okay. Both houses, not just one. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. And there you have that 3 days and then into the night, pushing on towards 3.5 days. Then he told them, he said, hey, tear that temple down. I'll rebuild it in 3.5 days. Why? When he resurrected. Why? Because he brought to pass the many-membered body of Christ. You're looking at it. You're looking at that temple, and it's his temple. It gets it done. Okay. No excuses, just getting it done, can-do type people, because he set the course, he showed the way. Likewise also the chief priests mocked him with the scribes and elders, said, remember these words now. Please remember them for me. We're going to cover them again in the Old Testament. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, spoken correctly here, because that priest knew, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. You know something? He was the only begotten. There's one thing Satan doesn't know, though. You're all children of God. And God takes care of his children. He feeds them, nurtures them, takes care of them. That's bad news for the opposition. And that's why your heart can swell with pride and love and contentment that God loves you. He does. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. He was a little lonely on that cross that night, that day. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Do you know what's written in Amos chapter 8 verse 9? God saying, my people will come to the end of days and I will make it dark at noon and it will stay dark for the day, through the clear of the day, which is to 3 p.m. It's written in Amos. Something else is written in Amos following that ninth verse in Amos 8. It said there's going to be a famine in the end times. It's not going to be a famine for bread, but it's going to be a famine for hearing the word of God. The true word taught, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And so it is. You have people today that are starving for the in-depth truth of what's going down, how it's going down, what, when, where. It's all written. He prepared that for us. And so it is. And he always forewarning us. Yeah, they should know it. If it gets real dark right at 12 o'clock noon, something different, okay? Something different's going on. They just crucified the Lord. Verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That particular line confuses so many people if you're ignorant of God's Word. Because all he's doing is quoting Psalms 22, where all these events are recorded, but recorded 1,000 years before this event transpired. Again, to let one that has any intelligence know this is true, man could not have arranged it. Roman soldiers gambling for his clothing and casting lots for them. Ridicule him this way. Crown of thorns on his head. And they all left him. And soon if that Messiah, false one, comes, you're not going to leave the true Christ. No way. You're sticking it right there before him. You're going to let the Holy Spirit, as it's written in Mark 13, speak through you. 47, some of them that stood by when they heard that, they said, this man calleth for Elias. He's calling Elijah. Because he didn't understand the Eli, Eli, which in Hebrew means my God, God. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias or Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake and rocks rent. In other words, when you were go to that temple, that he said, if you destroy it, he went to the Holy of Holies. And that veil wasn't just a little thin cloth. It was thick, and he ripped it from, not bottom, but from the top, whereby you, as one of God's children, can enter that Holy of Holies. You can talk to your Father. You can love your Father. You don't need a pastor or someone else to go in between. Christ opened it for you at any time. But why? I believe because of that statement that he gave up his ghost in John chapter 19, it is finished, is what he said. It's the last line in Psalms 22. Therefore, I feel he taught the entire psalm from the cross, whereby believers standing by would know exactly what was going down. Now turn with me to the great Song of Songs 22. And naturally, Psalms 22 begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. This is David talking, okay? It was David that was saying, Lord, I'm kind of all alone out here. They're after me, big time. And I'd like to have a little bit of help down here. And maybe you've just forsaken me. But the main thing is, I want you to know Christ was teaching Scripture. I mean, he was Emmanuel, God with us. He could not have deserted himself. Okay? That's just logic. Could not happen. But he was teaching this psalm so that you would know and understand that it would fortify any doubts that might persist in your mind, that if it was written 1,000 years before the fact, and if it were not for the Masoret, where we could document that it was, that it was just something written by man, that might be one thing. But we have the Masoret that any scholar can take and document word for word exactly as it was, and then the events in history in the year 33. Verse 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Remember those words of the high priest now. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. They weren't confused. And today, if you trust God, if you trust his word, and if you listen to the messages, especially pertaining to the Lord's day or the end time, you're not going to be confused nor confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And David was having a bad day here, all right, okay? But this great prophecy came forth from it. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, here comes those words that were on the cross. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And, of course, little old David was he was a man after God's own heart. Okay, so God did love him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Right from the very beginning, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Always has been, always will be. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. The disciples had all departed. He sent John away with his mother for safety. The others just left. Okay. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me. That's to say, the enemy is all around me. I'm surrounded. They gaped upon me with their mouth as a raving and a roaring lion. People passing down the road looking at that cross and ridiculing him, spitting toward it. And what a shame, you know, that he went through this for you. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. And his arms out of joint because he was nailed to that cross and being pulled from the very socket. And his mouth like an old potsherd, just dry. 16, four dogs have compassed me. The enemy The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. He was nailed to that cross. And there again, he repeats these words from that cross so that you would know, having been written again, and I'm repeating myself, but it's important, 1,000 years before the fact, that it was going down exactly this way, that he was pierced, both hands and feet, with joints out of socket. He was still teaching you because he loves you. Letting that truth flow, that you could believe him and that he could touch you and give you that your body the healing whereby he was receiving the stripes. 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and they stare upon me. 18, listen carefully. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesta. And there it is, right to the last, all every detail coming to pass as it's written, whereby you would know and understand and trust. Be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Don't worry, he would. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling. This word darling is nephesh, it's soul also in the manuscripts, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. This word, there is no such thing as a unicorn. This word in the Hebrew manuscripts is wild ox, okay? So don't, just kind of keep it in your mind straight. We're not dealing with mythology here. Let's stick to the true scriptures. I will declare thy name upon my brethren in the midst of the congregation while I praise thee. That's repeated again in Hebrews chapter 2. Whereby in that chapter it would give the reason he came here to die on the cross. And the 14th verse of Hebrews chapter 2 states he came here to die on that cross to destroy death, which is to say the devil. That's why he came here. Why? To get him off your back. To make your life a lot more pleasant. He suffered this. He did it for you that love him. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. That's revere, love him. And ye of the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. And God always does. God always does hear. God always leads. You know, again, I would remind you of a scripture, and it's one you want to remember. Isaiah 43 verse 26, where God said, hey, remind me of the promises I've made to you, and let's talk. You know, when you talk to God, he hears you, he knows you, and if he's made a promise, you need to claim it. But you have to take that initiative to do that, because it documents and gives credentials when you ask in his name that you are a believer. He knows your heart and your mind, and he loves you. So there you have it. Christ teaching us while he was even on that cross, as his very life in the flesh was ebbing from him, then the blood, which is the salvation of man, symbolically and literally, he was thinking of you and was teaching so that you could have that strength, that knowledge, and that wisdom of a sure salvation, knowing God's end time and things that would come to pass. And verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. You want to live forever? You know, it's a lot better place than this earth as it is now, however it will be on this earth. But everything's so very pleasant and eternal. And you know what? Even the presence of God himself. 27, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. On the day that he appears, after that 3.5 days that the two witnesses lie in the pata in the Greek, it's an arena, not a street. After that, he appears, and he comes not as a babe to be crucified this time, but he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to claim his own, to protect his own, to raise his own. And why will the nations then accept it? Then they know every knee will bow on the first day of the millennium. Every knee. It won't last, but what a day it will be to see that return and to see the evil one cast into the abyss. 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. Continuing, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. You got to remember that today. Men like to play politics, but men usually mess everything up just like they do their own lives if you're not careful. Okay. But God knows exactly what he's doing, and he is the governor. 29, all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. Only Christ is that Savior. Only Christ can save. What is his name? It's Jesus. What is Jesus in the Hebrew tongue? Yeshua. What does Yeshua mean, being translated? Yahweh Savior. He's the Savior of the eternal. And whomsoever will, I don't care who you are, if you love him and you follow him, he will touch you. Verse 30, a seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Do you know what that generation is? It's the generation of God's elect. He calls that generation of the fig tree his election. Why? Because it's a generation that lives at the very end, when all these things consummate, as he described in Matthew 24. In the detail, all seven things described and explained, that are the seven trumps. Just have to read it. And he clarifies it. He doesn't leave us wanting. And that generation, he treasures. Not that he loves them more or they're more special than anyone else. No, they earned it. But he loves all of his children, and he sends that generation to help his children that are lost. Because he's in the business, as it's written in Hebrew and Greek, the second book of Peter in chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. God is long-suffering, meaning he's got lots of patience. And with that patience, it is his will that all come to repentance. Will they? Well, that's up to them. Everybody sells their own ship. And it's according to whether you put it on the rocks or you go into his fleet. That's up to you. Okay. But God does so love that generation that he calls them the wise of the end times, that can see and understand the truth. And he uses them. He knows he can count on them. His words even from the cross. Verse 31 to complete. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. And the words "he hath done this" being translated from Hebrew to John chapter 19, you will, at verse 30, it will say, "it is finished." And that was it. But you know something? It was just exactly right. He prepared that way. He opened those gates. His body takes the stripes, and you get the healing. It is for this reason that we gather to partake of Holy Communion.